Can you turn with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, saints. To the Old Testament book of Daniel. Daniel. Y'all know about Daniel. Daniel. Yeah. One of those warrior soldiers. The first chapter and the first through the seventh verses, but I'm going to ask those of you who have your Bibles to keep your Bibles open today, because we're going to run through a couple of passages of scripture as we just hear from God today. But the scripture is on the screen for those of you who do not have your swords with you. And I will be reading from that first verse through that seventh verse in the New King James Version. Amen. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the noble young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that they at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among them of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. And I know this is not in our text on the board, but the eighth portion of that eighth verse says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. The word of our God for the people of God. Hallelujah, you may be seated. And for a few moments, I'd like to use for a topic, hallelujah, we gonna make it how the Lord will make a way. So I'm gonna need you to act out with me today. You gonna talk back, amen? Because when I grew up, there was a thing called responsiveness. And we responded to the call and response of the preacher or the leader. Amen? So when I say, we gonna make it how, you say, the Lord will make a way. Okay? Can we try that? Okay. So I'm gonna say it now, right? We gonna make it how?
The Lord will make a way.
Wait a minute. Your voices don't sound as loud as mine.
You got a mic.
Use your outdoor voice. Let's try that again. We gonna make it. Ha!
The Lord will make a way.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I want you to think about that for a moment. And many of you know that that is a song. The Lord will make a way somehow. And it sounds really cute, doesn't it? It's a little cliche. But I want you to understand that that is a testimony. It's a testimony. And I want you to know that it is the testimony of the people of God that gets us through the challenge that we face on an everyday basis. Amen? Amen. We're going to make it. How?
The Lord will make a way.
Amen, amen, amen. Now you know the Negro National Anthem is lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Stony the road we trod, and I'm just jumping around, bitter the chastening rod. Amen? And that's a song that when we come together during the time period of African history reflection, that we all stand tall, confident, and bold, and sing out and declare it as if we mean it. Well, when somebody deals with you in a manner that's unseemingly, and you feel like you're going down, and you feel like all hope is gone, and you feel a little scared and shaking in your boots, I want you to stand up tall and strong. Amen? And I want you to say, we gonna make it. How?
The Lord will make a way.
Praise God. How many of you know that? We have just come through 2019. I don't know about you, but 2019 was a challenging year for me. And it was a challenging year for me, not because it was just challenging, but there were some things that God was trying to work out in me. And how many of you know when God is trying to work some stuff out in you, you become very, very uncomfortable. You become very uncomfortable. And sometimes God will put you in situations and in predicaments, and you be giving credit to Satan, and it ain't nobody but God. So I want us to look at this text in Daniel about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I want us to understand there is something that God has done intrinsically through the history of his people. Remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's what Hebrews tells us. Amen? So if he's the same, although he has a different method of dealing with us, amen, the end result is still the same. Amen? So I want us to look at this for a few moments. Believers, as you think about 2019, and anybody was challenged in 2019, anybody? Anybody had some challenges? Did you lose a job? You know, did you lose some loved ones? Did you struggle with a car accident? And I just have to share that because my niece is up there today, and I thank you, Union, for praying for her for the last several months. She was in a near-fatal accident, and she was in a nursing home for quite some time at 25 years old, but the Lord raised her up. And she's sitting up in the balcony today. So I thank God for that. But it was the prayers of the righteous, the prayers of the righteous, that availed much on her behalf. And I need us to reflect on that a little bit as we think about this message, because I want you to know that there's some things we have to do. I shared with the 8 o'clock family that there's some things in our lives that God gives us with handles, and some things without handles. So the things with handles, he expects you to do what? Handle it. But the things without handles, he's going to handle. So let him have his way. Amen? But many times we get that thing mixed up, and we're trying to handle the things that God is supposed to handle, and the stuff that he's given us to do, we're running away from. Or we don't even consider it. Look at this for a moment. And I want you to understand that as believers, we should be standing on the promises of God. Amen. Every truth in the Bible is for us. And I'm just going to share something for a few minutes that makes you laugh. There's some fundamental principles that no matter where you go, they're always the same. So today I'm going to use a little math. Anybody in math, like math? Oh, not many, huh? So no STEM people in here. Jesus. So, if you go through a mathematical truth, 2 + 2 = 4. No matter who disagrees, doesn't really matter. Doesn't change the reality of that truth. Would you agree? So 2 + 2 still = 4 in Greenburg, White Plains, New York, Westchester County, California, and the surrounding vicinity. Matter of fact, throughout the world. Every time somebody said 2 + 2, you say 4. Amen. So that's a mathematical truth. And it reigns everywhere. Amen. But I need you to understand that everywhere that 2 + 2 = 4, God still is in control. That's a mathematical truth or biblical or spiritual truth that we can't live without. So, whether you are black, white, Democratic, Republican, liberal, or you ain't claiming nothing, educated, uneducated, living large or living in your family's garage, whatever the case, 2 + 2 still equals, and God is still what? Large and in charge. He's in control. Amen? So we must apply these principles with confidence in order to work the plan that God has ordained for our life. So what did I say? We're going to make it how?
The Lord will make a way.
Okay. So we're going to make it if you're single. We're going to make it. Any single people in the place? If you're divorced, we still gonna make it. If you're a widow or a widower, we still gonna make it. If you got sickness in your body, we still gonna make it. If you're suffering from cancer or some debilitating disease, we still gonna make it. If you've been mistreated, lied on, we still gonna make it. If you're unemployed or employed, we still gonna make it. If the economy is uncertain and you got no money in your pocket, we still gonna make it. We gonna make it how?
The Lord will make
it. And I can go on and on and on. And we will never come to a situation as believers that we can't say we're gonna make it. Because we know how the Lord will make a way. And because of that, there is nothing ever too hard or too impossible or too minute or small that our God is not concerned about in our lives. The reason why he walks with us and talks with us is because he loves us. And I think sometimes as believers, we forget that. When life's challenges hit us and almost knock us off our feet, we fail to remember that the God of all creation, the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one in whom we live, move, and have our being, he is the one who's still in control. Amen? And I need you to understand that as we move forward with this text. So in Daniel 1, verses 1 and 2, it tells you that the reigning king in Judah was Jehoiakim. But God allowed Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to come in and besiege, destroy Jerusalem. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim into his hands. And even some of the vessels, the sacred elements of God's house, were brought out and taken to the land of Shinar, into the house of their many gods, their insignificant gods, their irrelevant gods, and placed in their treasury with their gods. There are four important things I want to introduce to you so that we can better understand this text. The first thing is, the name Jehoiakim means, and I want you to understand this, the Lord will establish or the Lord will set up. Yeah. Are you gonna hear me?
Right.
The Lord will establish or the Lord will set up. How many of you know sometimes the Lord will set you up?
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Amen. But sometimes you set up for a comeback. But you gotta know what the setup is. King Jehoiakim was established and set in place by the Lord himself to lead Judah. Now, two, Judah is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Judah is known as the tribe that always praises and worships God. Ain't no praise and worship going on? I mean, you should have praised it right there. Amen. We are descendants of the tribe of Judah. Y'all know that's the tribe that Jesus came through. So we should be praising and worshiping God. Three, stay with me. Nebuchadnezzar came on the scene, and he is and was self-centered, with a God complex, an overblown ego. Sound familiar? King Nebuchadnezzar is the leader of the most ungodly nation in Babylon. And finally, four, notice a battle was going on between good and evil, right and wrong, God and the Antichrist. Amen? And I want you to know, if you bring that thing full circle to 2020, the same battle is going on. Amen? It's not in Babylon only. It's right here in Union Baptist Church, right here in Greenburg, right here in White Plains, right here in Westchester. Amen? There is a battle going on, and it's an onslaught. Amen? Amen? But the thing that we understand is that we already know that we win. But we still got to stand as soldiers of the cross. Amen? Religious people, and I hope nobody in here is religious, often get confused and get tripped up during difficult times. And the reason why is because they have misplaced their hope in someone or something that is less than God. I pray that we are not trying to be religious up in here, but that we are truly believers, people that walk by faith and not by sight, regardless to the situations and the circumstances we encounter. Pay close attention to the scripture when it says the Lord handled Jehoiakim into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. As I once said, we often give the devil credit for stuff God's doing. I may not like it or agree with everything that the Lord is allowing in my life and circumstances, but I must always accept that whatever the Lord allows, I'm going to make it. How? Always remember, because the Lord is in control at all times, He has all things in His hands. He is omniscient. Okay? Y'all know what that means. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. So if we serve an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, what are we frightened about? The three Hebrew boys and Daniel did not fret. I want you to look at this. Remember this, that God always is at the forefront of everything that's happening in the life of a believer. Amen. There's nothing that's happening in your life right now that God is not at the forefront of. And He's in control, and He's just waiting for you to believe Him, to trust Him, to prepare for His breakthrough, breakaway, breakout, and declare it with authority and conviction. But you got to believe it. How many of you know that there are things that happen in this world that happen to everybody? Matthew 5:45 records that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So it is clear that God knows everything. Amen? So nothing catches God by surprise or by happenstance. You know, sometimes things happen to us and we're like, whoa. But God knew it. He saw it around the corner. He saw it before it came. Do you know that as believers we are predestined? He has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. He's made us a promise, and God is no shorter than His promises. He said He puts His name as a seal on every believer. I need you to look at this. In verse 2 of that chapter 1 of Daniel, told you to stay right there, the Bible mentions the land of Shinar. And there's some things that I didn't know that God showed me. And I said, what is this Shinar about? And why do you list it here? What's so important? And there's a historical background of Shinar. Y'all remember that man called Nimrod? Nimrod was the son of Cush. And he was the grandson of Ham. Y'all remember Ham now? And the great-grandson of Noah. And he built his great anti-God empire in the middle of Shinar. He established his headquarters there. And it is found in Genesis, the 11th chapter,
that it is also the place where the Tower of Babel took place. Amen? And God caused confusion to break out around the people because of their spirit of disobedience. But take note, the Lord, not the devil, confused the languages. I think you to think about that for a moment. Sometimes we're saying the devil, and it has nothing to do with the enemy. Sometimes it's just God working out his master plan in each and every one of our lives. Amen? And that should make us praise him. That should make us excited. Because if God really has you in his hand, there's nothing that the devil in hell. Oh, I said it. There's nothing that the devil can do to overthrow you. Amen? I want to be civil. Amen. But I want you to understand some things as we look through this passage. Since Election Day in 2016, America seems like a land of complete, total idiocy and confusion. Would anybody agree? Thousands of protesters were protesting the election results across major cities in America. Check this. The KKK hosted a large victory parade celebrating the election of the president. Religious hate crimes have broken out all across this nation. And kids in just one middle school made national headlines as they shouted, "Build the wall!" while Hispanic classmates cried out in fear. But through it all, church, we're going to make it. How?
The Lord will make the way.
Think about it. Let's go back. In Genesis chapter 1, the earth was dark, without form and void. There was confusion everywhere. And that was because Satan had fell from glory. And he corrupted the entire earth. Amen? But let me clear this up now. God took control of all the confusion by declaring, "Let there be light." And there was light instantly, overcoming all the darkness. Whatever you are dealing with today, we can't lose our faith. Because God is still available and able to overcome any dark situation in your life. If you believe, we're going to make it. How? Let's move forward. As we continue in Daniel and move over to the third chapter, I need you to see something. Because sometimes we don't realize how great our God is and what kind of stuff we're working with. In that third chapter, the 28th through the 30th verses, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Nebuchadnezzar, that evil invader who took the city, who ruled in Babylon, but here he is saying in chapter 3, now that was in chapter 1 that he took them. In chapter 3, it says that he's saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." The king commanded, y'all didn't hear this. The king commanded, as they yielded their body, rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, he made a decree, and you know those decrees were written in stone. They could not be overturned. Any people, nation, language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, their houses laid to ruin, and there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Y'all need to be praising God right now, because that's the same God that I serve. I don't know about any of you. But that's the same God. And if he can do it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what? He can do it for me. We got to think about this. So the king promoted. Can you imagine being promoted in the enemy's camp? Meshach, and Abednego right in the province of Babylon in front of all of their enemies, in front of all of their captors. And I want you to know, wherever you are right now, on your job, if there's something or someone that is being irritating, that is against your God, that is a little cantankerous or anticlimactic, all you got to do is stand up in the name of Jesus and declare, I'm going to make it. How? And I want you to know, just as he showed up for these three Hebrew boys, he's going to show up for you. And in the midst of the confusion and the hot situation, while others are watching and waiting for your demise, and you know there are some people that are just waiting for you to fall, God will move in a such a mighty way on your behalf that others will be forced to change their mind and heart, and they will start to worship the one and only living God. I think it was Agrippa that said, I'm almost persuaded. See, what God can do in you can change the course of this whole world. But we've got to believe it, prepare for it, and declare it everywhere we go. I want you to look at this. I went back to 1 Samuel 8A, because I wanted you to see that it was Daniel that purposed in his heart that he was not going to allow himself to be a party to the enemy's food. You know, sometimes we sit down right in the midst of the camp with the enemies and break bread. Light don't have no fellowship with darkness. And I'll leave that right there. The Hebrew boys made it because the Lord was so powerful and so, what should I say, gracious and so unbelievably strong in his ability to carry out his task that even the enemies around them had to acknowledge the graciousness and the greatness of our God. And not only did they call him King of Kings, go back and read that text. And even said, they started shouting that he is the Lord above every Lord. Now, you know Nebuchadnezzar considered himself a Lord. But when God got through with the situation, he had to bow to the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't let nobody make you think that they in control of your destiny. I don't care what they hold over your head. They have a job and they think that they're going to make you fearful because they have a job. Remember, just like God gave you that job, talk about my God. I'm talking about my God. But if that's not enough evidence, we're going to move on. Daniel 6:16 says, so the king gave a command, and they brought Daniel, now we're going to Daniel, and cast him into the lion's den. Now I want y'all to laugh at this. The king cast him in, closed it off with his own signet ring, so that it would be sealed, and Daniel's fate would be secured. And then it said the king went back in the palace and couldn't sleep all night and couldn't even eat. And then it said the next morning he made haste and said, Daniel, oh, Daniel, has your God delivered you? And you know what Daniel said? King, oh, king, live forever, but my God showed himself mighty and shut of the lions, took control over the situation, gave me a full night's sleep while you were restless. So now all you got to do is open up the gates and I'm just going to walk on out, which he did. And Daniel had a testimony that frustrated even the people in the land of Babylon. And I want you to understand this, saints. The enemy is trying to close your mouth. Mm. Now, y'all need to hear me.
Yes.
The enemy is trying to close your mouth. He's trying to shut you up.
And I wondered why everything tries to shut me up. Every once in a while when I get ready to pray, something comes over my breath and I almost can't breathe. And I felt like I was being asphyxiated. But then I started praying about that thing. And God showed me that it's the enemy trying to close my mouth, because when I utter the praises of God, walls fall.
Hallelujah.
Y'all remember last week when Pastor talked about overcoming your walled cities? And he said that once they walked around that camp 7 days, and then the seventh day they walked around seven times and the ram's horn was blown. And he said all they had to do was turn around and use their mouth and shout the victory, and the walls fell down. And they took the camp. I want you to know that that's the kind of God we serve. We're going to make it. How? So you've seen evidence after. Do I need to go through any more? I want one more. Hebrew. You know, when they came out of Egypt and they was going through the desert and they went through the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea. Sometimes God wants us to know that we got to go through some stuff. You can't sing the song "Through It All, I Learned to Trust in Jesus" if you ain't been through nothing. See, we want to sing the songs of Zion, but we don't want to experience the challenge it takes for us to declare the victory. Amen? No matter what's going on, Union, in the White House, if there's a gray house, a pink house, or a blue house, whatever's going on, I want you to still recognize that God is God in every given situation, and he cannot be stopped. Not only will he cannot be stopped, he will not be stopped. But you've got to know that we're going to make it. How? And I got one final piece, and then I'm going to leave you alone. Jesus. Y'all know Jesus? Y'all know Jesus, Mary's baby? We just came through the Christmas celebration. You know, the Son of the Living God? That little man, they rocked him. Amen? But I want you to know he's not a baby anymore. He came as the Lamb of God. But right now he's standing and waiting, because he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he getting ready to wreck some stuff. But I want you to know that while we're waiting, we need to be praying. Saints, I don't know why we don't pray. And I know you're praying at home. But I want you to know, when the people of God came together on the day of Pentecost, they didn't say, "I'm sitting at home." Jesus told them to wait in the upper room until you be endued with power. Now, I know we have situations and circumstances, but you can come out to everything and we can't make our way to the house of God for prayer a half an hour. And I have to say that to you, saints, because if you want some mountain moving faith, then you've got to be willing to come together and break some strongholds. Declare some curses over your generational families broken. You need to start declaring and decreeing. The kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Are you in the army of the Lord? Do you believe God is able to do anything and everything? Then we need to take authority and start decreeing and declaring that the Lord, we're going to make it. How? Hallelujah. Jesus, that's all I got to say. On that night, before he was about to be betrayed, he went to the garden. And what was he doing, y'all? Okay, he had to deal with some stuff. He had to say, "My flesh is uncanny, but your spirit is so great." And so he prayed, not one time, he prayed two times. And then when that wasn't enough, he prayed three times. And after the third time, he must have got a breakthrough. Because he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And what he was saying was that, "Death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" Because he knew that if I be lifted up from the earth, I'm going to draw
This morning, I didn't sleep all night. Every time I tried to lay down, something kept messing with me. And you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, you know, at the night watch, it's God, because he wants you to pray. But then there's sometimes when it's an enemy, something trying to hold you and restrain you. And that's just what it was. And I kept getting up with stomach problems. And I kept going back to the bathroom and back up until 5 o'clock this morning. And it was almost like I was supposed to say in my flesh, I can't make it today. But God had an assignment. And I would not be stopped. Because it ain't about me, y'all. The Jesus in me had to do something that was going to liberate the captives, that was going to open the blinded eyes, that was going to open the prison door. I had to declare that the goodness of the Lord is gracious to me. I'm living now, not because of my own will, not because I'm so good, but the God I serve. I don't think you believe it today.